podcast.
Hi. Today I'm talking to Alex Brown, Head of Operations for Skyports. Skyports is a company involved in designing, building and operating passenger and cargo vertiports. And you'll hear more about what those are in our conversation. And also developing and implementing end-to-end drone deliveries. And the reason for talking to them is because Skyports have been operating a trial in Argyll and Bute in partnership with our Health and Social Care Partnership. They've been carrying COVID test samples and other medical materials on drone deliveries between medical facilities in Argyll and Bute. So here's Alex to tell us a bit more about what they're doing and what that might mean for the future. A really interesting conversation coming up. I have to add a special thank you to Alex because our first attempt at this podcast ran into technical difficulties. The first significant fail I've had and we lost the recording. So this is our second attempt at the conversation. Hi, Alex. Thanks for joining me again. So we'll go for round two. But maybe start off talking about the trial that's now finished up in Oban from Skyports that you've been doing with NHS Highland and the hospital up there.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, Pippa. Good to join again. So we've really just finished up a 3-month project up in the Argyll and Bute region, actually based out of Oban and the Lorne and Ireland Hospital there, doing a drone delivery operation between 4 different medical facilities within the NHS supply chain. So it was a project we did with our partners Deloitte and Vodafone, and it was actually funded by the European and the UK space agencies, which is really interesting. So they have a real interest in using space-enabled technologies to help with sort of healthcare applications, and particularly around rural healthcare applications. And so as COVID-19 sort of really set in last year, they released some opportunities to help out using this sort of technology to assist on the front lines of COVID. And so it was really a COVID-19 focused project where we were flying pathology samples, COVID-19 tests, medicine, some other sort of ad hoc medical equipment between the 4 different medical facilities in Argyll and Bute that we were serving, and really looking to sort of provide a hand, I guess, during COVID-19 where supply chains are stretched, you know, people are off of work, you're trying to limit the amount which people are obviously traveling around. And so an unmanned technology such as the drones that we use is sort of a really good way to do that. So 3-month project, we achieved some really good results. You know, over the length of the trial, we saved about 14,000 hours from the supply chain. So that's, you know, if not for the drone, that's 14,000 hours that would have been added on to the time that patients take to get their results back in terms of pathology samples. So that for us is sort of the number one result coming out of it. We're really happy about that, because that's time that, you know, you can start isolating, or you can stop isolating, you can go and see friends, you can start treatment. It's these sorts of, I guess, end user improvements that we see coming from the use of the drone system that we're really proud about.
Yeah, and I mean, I was lucky enough to go up and see it in Oban, and particularly useful for us in our geography. And I think you were transporting stuff between a couple of the islands, which, you know, the potential for that is incredible, but also the challenges of, you know, these aren't the kind of drones people maybe see with that are used for photography. These are on a bigger scale, and they need a lot more work to just to get the permissions to do all of the trial that you've described, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the drones you're probably used to seeing in your park is sort of the little buzzy drones, which are a little bit annoying, to be honest. You can buy them off Amazon for, you know, a few hundred quid. Ours are a little bit different. They're a little bit more sort of professional and much higher sort of safety and redundancy of the technology we use. The drone we tend to use is actually from an Australian company where I'm from, called Swoop Aero. It's what's called a fixed wing VTOL. VTOL stands for vertical takeoff and landing. And basically it takes off like a helicopter, and then it sort of moves forward into what we call airplane mode. The range of the drones is about 60 miles or 100 kilometers, and it can carry 3 kilograms of payload in sort of a smallish cargo bay. So it's not a huge cargo bay, but what we find is that it's really good for these sort of high value urgent payloads and pathology samples and COVID tests are basically a really good example of that. So we were flying these drones out of all around the Argyll and Bute region, and as you mentioned, over to the islands. We were servicing a hospital on the Isle of Mull called the Mull and Iona Community Hospital, which is sort of a smaller community hospital, as the name suggests. And for them, it was really useful because although it's only 15 kilometers away from the hospital in Oban, it's not just that. It's you got to go to the ferry, you got to wait for the ferry, you got to board the ferry, get off the ferry, drive to the hospital, and the ferry may only be operating 0 to 1 to 2 to 3 times a day, depending on the day of the week. And during COVID-19, for example, they ran quite a reduced schedule. So although it's a very short distance, for our drones, it was only about a 15-minute hop. That sort of transport link from an NHS perspective could be anywhere from 4 to 36 hours, depending on when you want to send that sample. And so when we compare sort of sending, urgent pathology samples where you need to resolve as soon as possible between that 4 to 36 hour hop or sort of a 15-minute hop on one of our drones, it's really a no-brainer. And the staff at the hospital there got really sort of used to using the drone. They really liked using the drone. There was an example where the ferry, the Craig near Oban ferry, was down for the weekend. So we made sure we were sort of covering that period so we could cover any samples that were coming out of the hospital. So yeah, I think it was quite useful for the island communities we were serving.
Yeah, I mean, from what I heard, some of the medical professions were actually choosing to send by drone rather than by road, and equally patients that have coming out to watch the drones take off, perhaps carrying their own samples. So it did seem to really be seen as a benefit and to capture people's imagination. Even when I was there, there was somebody came out from the hospital just to see the action and watch the takeoff and things. So it's, they're quite impressive things in that way.
Yeah, I mean, we try to get people down to the site as well to sort of see the drones in operation. Obviously, COVID-19 restrictions sort of pending, but we find it's one of these things you do need to sort of see to believe. It all sounds a bit sort of Star Trek-y, we're going to carry your blood samples from the medical practice to the hospital with a drone, but when you see it's relatively simple. Obviously with a high level of safety around it, and it's a very regulated industry we operate in, but it's very simple. And we found that after sort of a couple of weeks of operating, people generally got bored of it, which is great. And that's what we want it to be. We want, seeing one of our drones flying through the air just to be as boring as a white van driving down the street. You don't give it a second glance, right? It's how things are moved around in the region. And we think that that's where it's definitely going. And we found that at the end of the project, it was just the way of getting things done. The hospital workers at Loch Gilpet Hospital, the GPs, the nurses, the frontline workers, they told me that the phrase cooler drone was sort of became a common part of their vocabulary, which is awesome, which is great. And it's just sort of, urgent sample here, it's a COVID test, we need the results soon, that's cooler drone. And then we would get a drone down there and get the sample back to the lab as soon as possible.
Got catchphrase there in the offing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a massive endorsement, isn't it? When you're looking at change and quite a radical new technology, the fact that it so quickly in the trial got that level of buy-in from people is, is quite compelling for the future and the opportunities it has and just how acceptable people would find that.
Yeah, absolutely. It needs to be as simple as possible and it needs to show results very quickly. So that's what we are very focused on. So to give you an example, we built an ordering system that the NHS staff could log into to order a drone. We did it with our partner Deloitte, who were fantastic building that. We made that sort of a very sort of simple add to cart, Amazon shopping style experience, really. And I remember the first time we sort of showed the staff how to use it, I think the response was, "Oh, it's just like shopping. I can do this. And I don't even need a credit card." So, but that's the key thing for us, is making it as simple as possible to interact with. Not any additional burden or limited additional burden on staff. And they can clearly see the results, and they could, because instead of it taking until 4 or 5 PM the next day until they get that result back and then they have to call up their patient, they were getting it back in a couple of hours time and they were giving them the diagnosis. So, I mean, we had an example out of one of the smaller medical surgeries we were serving, where a gentleman came in sort of quite late in the day, the porter for the day had already gone, he gave us samples, and that was we did an urgent delivery from the surgery to the lab and got those results back within a couple of hours. The feedback we were told by the staff was that if it wasn't for the drone, there was sort of a risk that the general would have lost his eyesight because it was quite a sort of a rapid onset degenerative illness, and because of we could sort of catch it and get the results back very soon, they could start treatment soon. So we sort of these frontline stories flow back to us, and that's what we love, and that's what we're all about.
Yeah, I mean that one is so compelling, and as you describe it, that 15 minutes from Oban to Mull Hospital, or I think it was half an hour to to Loch Ilphead, even in road travel, it would be more than that, but they're probably only getting a pickup once a day, so the flexibility and agility of that is quite phenomenal for us in such a big area. I think what I was struck with as well when I saw it was the skill involved, and you described the app and things, and it's really simple to use, but actually the skill and the complexity behind of safeguarding the airspace, and for the pilot that's actually overseeing the drone and making sure that everything's going on board. These are skilled jobs and skilled sort of preparations that go into to make all that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to give you an idea, sitting behind that sort of operation, which we was relatively simple in concept, we tried to make it appear as look as simple as possible, was sort of a 400-page regulatory document. So it's aviation, so it's a heavily regulated industry. The Civil Aviation Authority is the body we work with very closely. So we've been working with them for sort of 2 years now to try and either use the existing regulatory framework to exist to get this thing up in the air, or sort of work, develop new regulatory frameworks to be able to do this. And to give them credit, they've been excellent in sort of working with us. And I think when COVID-19 hit and they realized that there was a massive potential for delivery drones like the ones we use to help with community health type use cases, they sort of jumped on board and were willing to help. And the pilots we use are incredibly well trained. They're some of the best in the world. And I guess as we look forward to sort of scaling this type of operation across Argyll and Bute out of on the back of the work we've done over the past few months, these are the sorts of jobs that we'll be hiring locally for. And I think there's a massive opportunity here for the rural communities, and everyone likes to talk about jobs and STEM and high tech jobs, and these are the sorts of jobs we're going to be hiring for and recruiting for across sort of these parts of rural Scotland.
Yeah, and I mean, I know it's something that we've already got highlighted in our rural growth deal for some development up at Oban Airport to look at whether we can develop a drone hub for logistics and for training, which would be fantastic for the area, because that, I mean, the airport, there's such a good resource, but the opportunities now looking at drones as well as manned aircraft is fantastic, and the they're all electric, which is fits with our climate change agenda as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other partnerships we have, apart from working closely with the NHS, is actually working with the Royal Mail. So we're lucky enough to work with sort of two of the top, organisations in the UK, and the Royal Mail is really interested in. And so we did the first Royal Mail drone delivery ever, actually, on the Isle of Mull to a the lighthouse near Tobermory, which is super exciting. So they're interested in, yeah, how do we turn our supply chain to sort of a greener, faster, more efficient type supply chain. And with them, we'll be looking at places like Oban Airport. Could we be setting up a Royal Mail, green aviation logistics hub serving the islands in that region? Because when you look at a place like Argyll and Bute, you really couldn't design a better sort of region for drone delivery if you wanted to. It works really well. You've got islands and mountains and rivers, and it is just difficult naturally to move things around by ground transport and do it, fast, frequently, effectively, and on a cost-effective basis. So this is where drones make a lot of sense. And I think for airports like Oban Airport, there's a really exciting opportunity here to be at the forefront of the general sort of electric aviation movement, not just across smaller cargo drones like the ones we're using at the moment, but the bigger cargo drones that we'll start to introduce into the fleet. over the next couple of years, and even sort of passenger air taxi services. You know, at the moment they're currently done by, you know, your usual sort of petrol aircraft. You know, why can't they be turned electric? They're the sort of small capacity aircraft that work really well with electric technology.
And I mean, you touched on some of the future developments, which, you know, I think is so exciting. And you know, people might think it's a long way off, but I mean, I know one of your colleagues, when I went up, showed me film of, you know, there are passenger drones flying. They might not be taking passengers yet, but they exist and they are capable of, you know, doing what they say on the tin.
Yeah, it's a huge industry. So we work really closely with a couple of the different, you know, top passenger air taxi manufacturers in the world. They're mainly sort of located in the US, Europe and Germany. And actually we have one here in the UK, Vertical Aerospace, who's one of the top passenger air taxi manufacturers in the world. So we work really closely with them sort of within a different part of our business, which is around building infrastructure for air taxi. So a way to think about it is sort of a helipad for a electric helicopter is probably the simplest way to look at it. And what we find with electric aviation is that because they lack a lot of the moving parts that the petrol helicopters have, it can be cheaper, it can be safer, it can be quieter. And when we start to think about integrating more of these services into cities, it's a really good way to do that. So to give you an idea, we built the world's first vertiport in Singapore actually about 2 years ago, working with Volocopter, which is the German air taxi manufacturer. We've now got plans with them to sort of scale up across, you know, Singapore and wider Southeast Asia. And we're working with other air taxi manufacturers as well and looking at more of the rural locations. So whether it's Argyll and Bute, you know, the Orkney Islands, for example, the Shetlands, places like this, which use, yeah, traditional aircraft, you know, whether it's a twin otter, for example, that sort of transport passengers around the island. And could we use a vertical takeoff and landing electric air taxi to transport passengers instead?
Yeah, I mean, that to me is just fascinating when you look at some of our islands and you know, all of them, but particularly some of the small ones where we use small vessels and it's short hops and things. The potential for this in terms of opening up you know, transport links, the frequency of them, the ease of them, you know, they're less susceptible to weather, as I understand it. And, you know, and that might also mean links to into the more urban areas from Argyll and Bute. You know, it offers so many opportunities for an area like ours. And the fact that it is pretty much you know, much sooner on the horizon than perhaps I didn't imagine till I sort of started getting involved and learning a bit more from because of the Skyports pilot. I mean, I just think that's incredible and something, you know, that we really need to get our heads around what the opportunities are, that, you know, to be doing that or to get your parcel delivered that way is, you know, but you know, and equally the serious sort of healthcare benefits and things that your pilots outlined, that's, you know, it's mind blowing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, from a passenger air taxi perspective, we foresee launching our first permanent air taxi service from about 2023 onwards. Now that will probably be one of the first ones. You know, I think it's more around sort of 2024, 2025, where you'll start to see sort of the commercial scaling of passenger air taxi services. But it's a real thing. You know, it's regulated by the Civil Aviation Authorities. There's a huge amount of investment which is poured into these air taxi manufacturers. You know, the top five in the world have raised sort of tens of billions collectively between them. So it's a real thing and it's coming. And it's people like us who are working really closely with the regulators to make sure that the regulatory frameworks do exist to basically allow these services to happen. And the potential is huge. You're really going from a passenger air taxi perspective, you're going from a situation where you've been limited to sort of more runway to runway type operations and needing that infrastructure set up to, you know, being able to operate from much smaller sort of footprints of land. And that allows you to go, you know, deeper into cities, to more convenient locations, to places you wouldn't otherwise be able to go with a passenger aircraft. And that's a massive opportunity for regions like Argyll and Bute.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, to be at the forefront of some of that with the pilot that you've done, and as you say, the opportunities that it has for jobs, because I think, you know, that sometimes there's, for people that don't know areas like ours, there's a perception that you know, it's all just sort of rolling hills and lochs and things, but actually, you know, we've got a good bit of sort of STEM, marine sciences kind of activity going on. And to build on that, you know, things like, you know, SAMS in Oban, you know, is a globally renowned facility, and to make places like that accessible and have that, you know, the jobs and things that that have sort of further STEM related skills, you know, provides opportunities and potentially real interesting careers for young people in the area that probably haven't even been envisaged yet.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, SAMS is a really good example of sort of a local organization you've got locally doing world leading work. You know, we work quite closely with SAMS in a couple of areas. You've also got, you know, on your shores, obviously big wind farm opportunities, and there's a couple of developments that are sort of being touted at the moment. You've got tidal energy developments as well. And it's projects like that, particularly around the wind farms, where we think there's a massive potential from a drone delivery perspective, because there is a need to transport suppliers out to these sorts of developments, both as they're being built, but also as they're just being operated on a day-to-day basis, whether that's, you know, components for the repairs of the wind farms, or more sort of medicine, et cetera, for the people who are actually working out on these wind farms. And typically the way they operate is they have sort of a bit of a boat, which is located out there on a temporary or a semi-permanent basis, and having the ability to have a rapid, fast, frequent transport going between there and the land is really significant. So we've been speaking to quite a few different sort of renewable energy companies around how could we use delivery drones to help with sort of the day-to-day operations of wind farms and projects like that.
Yeah, I mean, that point of the sort of speed and the not tying up resources and boats and things like that is, I mean, you're right, all of those things are, you just add to the complexities of what we try and deliver in this kind of area. So, and I mean, you touched on the investment. I think that was one of the things as well, when I heard from your team, you know, it just supports how, I suppose, how sort of close the potential developments, the level of investment in these and the Skyports themselves have got is, you know, significant. There is real backing, you know, for anyone that doubts this, there is serious money behind these things, and it's not, you know, it's not a twinkle in someone's eyes. These things are really happening around the world.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at ourselves specifically, we've got some really serious backers behind us, and some of the leaders in sort of transportation infrastructure. I mean, we've got Deutsche Bahn, which is, they sort of own and operate the German railway assets. So they're huge. I think they've got something like 300,000 employees. We've got Aéroports de Paris, who's they own Paris Airport and a lot of other airports around the world. Islandia Aviation, which is actually the Ryanair family, so the Ryan family's sort of family office. So again, some of the world leaders in transport are sort of trying to get involved with this industry. And then also a venture capital firm called Levitate Capital, based out of the US. So a lot of sort of international leaders in transport and infrastructure are sort of supporting us. And we heavily leverage that expertise when we're doing the projects we're doing, which are sometimes quite complex, particularly as it relates to the regulatory side of what we're doing. I mean, to give you an example, within our drone deliveries business, we're currently applying for what's called our LUC. Essentially, it's an airline license for drones, probably the best way to sort of put it. You know, that's quite a long, intensive process where sort of the regulator assesses you and says, you know, yes or no, I don't think you're a reliable organization. And so we draw upon sort of the expertise of our partners, like, you know, the Ryanair family, who are obviously very, very well acquainted with that.
So, I mean, it's just fascinating to me what's coming next. I know you're doing the evaluation of the Oban pilot now. What do you think's next for that? What can people expect to see? Will they see drones coming back doing logistics in Argyll and Bute anytime soon?
Definitely, definitely. They will. The plan is to be launching permanent operations from sometime in 2022, so next year. There is a pathway to get there though, working with the Civil Aviation Authority, and that's what we're working through at the moment. But we're laser focused on doing this on sort of a permanent, recurring, sustainable basis, and we want it to be a sustainable business as well. And we think it can be. We think we can do this on a very cost effective basis while still running a sustainable business. So 2022, we hope to be operating commercially in the UK, and also we have some sort of other expansion plans around the world as well. But no, we'll definitely be back in Argyll and Bute, and you'll definitely, hopefully, see the drones flying sometime soon.
Excellent. Thanks for giving us all that background, Alex. And you can put my name down for one of your first flights in Argyll and Bute of passenger drones. I'll be there.
You got it. You got it. Sounds great.
Thanks, Alex. That's great. And that kept recording this time. I was watching it all the way through. So,
Thanks, Pip. Appreciate it.
thanks for Alex for talking to me today and for all his team who've worked with. The team at Oban Airport and at the Host Health and Social Care Partnership to make the project possible, and some real interesting opportunities for an area like Argyll and Bute that relies on flights and ferries, with the future maybe being a little bit closer than some of us might have thought. If you're interested in seeing a little bit more about what Skyports do, and what the drones look like and some of the infrastructure of the future might look like, you can check that out at skyports.net. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. Bye for now.
Pippa's Podcast.